This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Here at Blue Apron, we know exactly how hectic school nights can be. That's why we created Assemble and Bake. Delicious one-pan meals that make family dinner simple. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients and put the pan in the oven to bake. Then you're free to help out with that last-minute diorama. Shop Assemble and Bake at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Just got a new puppy or kitten. Congrats. But also, yikes. Between crates, beds, toys, treats, and those first few vet visits, you've probably already dropped a small fortune, which is where Lemonade Pet Insurance comes in. It helps cover vet costs so you can focus on what's best for your new pet. The coverage is customizable, sign up is quick and easy, and your claims are handled in as little as 3 seconds. Pro tip, Lemonade offers a package specifically for puppies and kittens. Get a quote at lemonade.com/pet. Your future self will thank you. Your pet won't. They don't know what insurance is.
Even though I asked for this person to come on the show today, I'm not excited to talk to this person. Matt Tate covers the Kansas Jayhawks. I got to ask him questions about how good Darren Peterson is and how KU got a win on the road against a top 10 team. I'm not looking forward to it. Hey, Matt.
Hey, we could be talking about K-State some more, right?
That's, you know what? I'd much rather talk to you about KU than talk to anybody about K-State right now.
I got you. I'll take care of it.
All right, so let's just talk about this. I thought Texas Tech outplayed KU for 39 minutes, and it didn't matter because Darren Peterson happened. Just, I don't even know if this is a question as much as just, you've seen a lot of great Kansas basketball performances. It wasn't the fact that he hit one of those threes. It was just the sequence of doing it back to back, those being the last points from Kansas. They then go on the road to get probably the biggest road win they've had in the last 5 years. It was just a culmination of everything. But I understand the Peterson experience has been frustrating in some ways for KU fans. But when it works, like it worked on Saturday in the first 20 minutes of the game when he had the best dunk since Wayne Seldon, when it worked like it did against TCU when he makes those three free throws to send the game into overtime, when it worked like it did last night against Texas Tech, you see how good this team can be.
Yeah, it's really hard to think about people feeling sorry for Kansas or Kansas fans saying, oh, this sucks. It doesn't suck at all. I mean, it could be better. It could be less chaotic and less stressful and less confusing. But the bottom line is they've got one of the best, if not the best, players in college basketball on their team. And when he plays, he performs, he delivers. And that was what was so cool about last night. He didn't play great up to that point. He forced some shots. He missed some shots. He was looking for fouls. He probably got fouled a couple of times that he didn't get the whistle. But there it was, game on the line, and he's got the mindset of the same mindset that the greats have, right? Like, I don't care what I've done to now. This is my time. This is money time. This is clutch time. And come hell or high water, I'm going to go for it. And, you know, it's like that old line, right, that Jordan used to say about you miss 100% of the shots you don't take or whatever it is, right? So, like, Darren wasn't thinking about what he had done or hadn't done up to that point. He was thinking, I got to deliver right now. And then, you know, they ran a great play. It takes more than one player to run that play and deliver and execute it, and they all did. And he was, you know, the gamer that he is, and he knocked down that shot. And then you knew when they got the stop on the other possession, he was going to do something, whether that was get to the line and shoot a couple free throws, or, you know, just rise up and knock down a shot over somebody, or hit some incredible circus type shot. You knew he was going to do something. And it took me back to Devontae Graham hitting a similar shot. Now, it wasn't a three pointer, but Late in that 2017-18 season, Devontae Graham hit a big-time shot to win in Lubbock. Off balance, falling backwards, throws it off the glass. It falls in. KU wins, and I think, you know, obviously won the Big 12 that year and went on to the Final Four. And it's very different, but clutch. And so for Peterson to do it after a, you know, ho-hum sort of game, for Peterson to do it with the previous 48 hours being everyone in the world that's paying attention to this thing freaking out about that second half against BYU, for him to just continue to block out the noise and just make plays and make shots, I mean, I think that speaks to his greatness. And one other thing that does, if you go back and watch the film of the game-winning three-pointer, watch everyone else around him. Watch the bench, watch his teammates, watch the crowd. Everyone has some kind of visceral reaction to that shot that was so clutch, so money, and obviously decided the game. Everyone has a reaction but Darren. Darren's just cool, calm, and collected, running back down, again, as if he expected to make the shot, expected to make the plays, and that's why he is what he is.
I'm happy you said that part there at the end, Matt, because that honestly was the scariest part about all of it is, like, you've seen college kids hit big shots, and there's that instant burst of energy for 5 seconds where they don't really know how to react or respond. Like, it's a normal reaction to me. When he hit those two shots, he hit those shots like it made it 15-11 in the first half of the game. Like, it was nothing. Like, it was easy. Like, I've been doing this my whole life. That's the thing that would scare me the most if I was a basketball player. Wait, that guy can do that and have that reaction to it?
100%, man. And I think, to be honest with you, that's probably why he survived this wild season, right? Like, whether it's the outside noise or the criticism or, you know, his desire to be on the floor and his body not letting him, or a combination of all of those things, he has just remained very, very chill about the whole thing. And he's played when he can play, and he sat when he can't play, and he just does what he does. And what he does is plays basketball at a higher level than ever had anything like him. Even some of the all-time greats, you know, they did it differently. They were louder, they were more explosive, more expressive, and all of that. And I'm not saying he's number one, you know, passing Wilt and Danny Manning and all that stuff, but pound for pound, play for play, shot for shot, moment for moment, I mean, you have to put him up there with as good a player as we've ever seen come through KU.
Right now, we're talking with Matt Tate, who covers the Kansas Jayhawks, talking about the big win that they had last night against Texas Tech. I don't want to overreact to one win, but it really does kind of feel like the sky could be the limit with this KU team. Like, ultimately, I think they're going to have to establish a little bit more depth. I don't know if you can win the national championship with 6 players like KU has, but if you're talking about from a starting 5 standpoint, if they get a healthy version of Darren Peterson, you look at Florey, who might be the best big defensive player in college basketball. Trey White can give you 20 if necessary. Melvin Council can get you 20 if necessary. You surround that with Darren and Bryson Tiller, and we'll talk more about him. He's really starting to develop and emerge over these last couple weeks. Like, KU has the right starting 5, I think, to be really dangerous against just about anybody in the country.
Yeah, and I think they've believed that from minute one. I think they believed that in the summer. I think they believed that when the season started. I think they believed that even when Darren wasn't playing, right? They know who they are. These guys have incredible, you know, belief in themselves as players beyond just having, you know, Darren Peterson on their team. So I think they've always believed that, but now they have the data, right? They've won 6 in a row. They boat raced Iowa State. They went to Texas Tech and won in a building that they don't usually win in against a tough team. It was a gritty Bill Self type of win. And so I think they have, obviously they beat BYU the other day too. I mean, those are data points. And so I think their belief is going from, yeah, we knew we could do this, to, oh, look, we're not only can we do this, we're actually doing it. And so I think you're right on the money about the depth concerns. This was interesting because I thought part of the reason they didn't play great last night, at least until Darren, you know, did his thing at the end, was the fact that it was their first Saturday-Monday turnaround of the season, which they're going to have more, and other teams have them too. It's not poor KU or anything like that, but this was the first one, And then you're throwing that on top of playing a short bench like you talked about. So, you know, they've got another one coming up this week. They play Utah at home on Saturday and then turn around and go against number one Arizona on Monday night. And so we'll see how they react to that one and how the depth holds up there. But that's without question the biggest concern is could they possibly find another player off of that bench that they can count on, that they can give even 6-8 minutes to. It doesn't have to be big minutes, because what you just said is dead right. I mean, that starting five is talented, tough, tenacious, and they have a little bit of everything, man. I mean, you know, Tiller and Florey are playing big, Trey White, even Melvin Council to some degree, and of course Darren are knocking down shots outside. They space the floor. They move the ball. They're fast in transition. They're tough on defense. Again, they're gritty. There's a lot to like about that team, but I just don't see how you can just ride with five guys. You've got to get more from somewhere else. And so Marco Jackson, Jamari McDowell are filling in that 6-7 role right now, but they've got to be better. They weren't great last night. And then on top of that, can they find one more guy? If they can, then yes, the sky is absolutely the limit. But even if they can't, they're back in the conversation for true Final Four contender, true national title contender. And you know, they're charging toward being back in the top 10, which this was a team that just a couple weeks ago was unranked. It's unbelievable the stretch they've gone on. And it started with beating K-State and beating Colorado. And, you know, that wasn't too special. But then they've backed it up. I mean, after beating Iowa State and Baylor at home, they got those two road wins that I just talked about. And then now they beat BYU and Texas Tech in back-to-back games. So the sky is the limit. The belief is growing and rising every day. And it's really impressive to watch.
I'll get you out of here with this. I mean, I'm looking at their schedule looking ahead. They go on the road to play Iowa State and Arizona. I don't think you're winning both of those games. You probably win one of those games. I don't know if you win both of those games. You take care of business at home the way that you have been. I mean, I'm looking at this team probably being a 3 seed in the NCAA tournament when I factor in what they did in the non-con as well. Does that sound about right to you? Kansas is either a 3 or a 4 seed in the tournament?
Yeah, I think right now that's probably right. Three is, I think, where Lenardi had them most recently. I think they would have to, you know, keep winning and get red hot and you know, turn 6-7 in a row to 10-12 in a row to get into that 2 seed conversation. Obviously, if they do, though, I mean, if you beat Iowa State, Houston, Arizona, you know, that's going to get you in the 2 seed conversation really fast, but they got to do that. And their schedule doesn't get any easier. And the depth is only going to become a bigger question because, you know, as the season grinds on, bodies get tired, you know, the fatigue sets in. It's not just physical fatigue either. It's mental fatigue, man. These dudes are carrying the load, but I'm working on a story right now that I think is kind of cool because I think it underlines one of the reasons why this team has kind of emerged like they have with this winning streak, but also why they've been able to manage their way through the whole Darren Peterson saga. And it's because while Darren Peterson is undeniably their most talented player, he's not their most valuable player and he's not their most important player. And the emergence of two other guys to fill those two roles and then play alongside a guy like Peterson, who is clearly the most talented player, that's been a lifesaver for KU. And that's what they've leaned on, right? Like Trey White and Melvin Council have been phenomenal all year long. And this team has benefited from it. Darren has benefited from it. And I'm sure it feels pretty good for Bill Self and that coaching staff, because the portal has not been their friend over the last few years. But with those two guys, I mean, they nailed it, man. And so this team is now just building, and you get the feeling that they're building for a real run.
Matt, I'll get you out of here with this one. I'll throw you a curveball. I want you to shout out a KU player. It can either be from your childhood or from your time covering that you don't think gets nearly enough credit. We always talk about the Mario Chalmers and the Brandon Rushes and the Ochais. Who's a Kansas basketball player that you don't think gets enough love? And you're thinking, man, that guy could actually hoop.
You know what? I could probably think about it for 4 hours and come up with 40 different names, but since we don't have that kind of time, the one that comes to mind right now is Marcus Garrett. Marcus Garrett was undeniably the best defender in the country his entire Kansas career. He contributed as a freshman. He could play more than people thought. Not a great shooter, but he could score. And way, way, way better offensively than people realize. So we did a thing. I don't remember exactly when it was. It might have been 2020. Like it might have been around, you know, the all-decade team kind of conversation or whatever. And this was when I was back at the paper, and we had three guys draft different, you know, starting fives or whatever. And I'll never forget being at the KU does the Christmas shopping thing every winter, and we were out there covering that thing, and we just done our team, and I ran my team by Coach Self and told him all three teams, and Marcus was standing right there, and he was like, he put you on his team. And I said, crazy? He goes, no, he'd be on my team. So I think Marcus Garrett was beloved. I think people liked him a lot, but I don't know that people remember him as the great player that he was. So I'll go Marcus Garrett.
That is my guy, Matt Tate, joining us on the show. He covers the Kansas Jayhawks. Matt, we'll catch up with you. I feel like every week in this conference, you know, KU plays Iowa State, or they play BYU, or they got Houston coming in town, or they got Arizona coming into town. They're always in the middle of something, man. We'll catch up with you down the road.
That sounds good. Yeah, next Monday is going to be interesting. That'll be when they can really, really open some eyes everywhere, right? Like, they've been hot, they've been good, but if they could take down number one Arizona, then it's a whole different level. So it'll be fun, and I'm sure we'll talk to you after that.
Absolutely. That's our guy, Matt Tate, joining us on the show today. He is with R1 S1 Sports. Rob, who is that Kansas player for you? If I ask you, who's the Kansas player that obviously KU fans have a lot of respect for, but just doesn't get the level of conversation? He's not a guy who's ever going to be in the conversation of having his jersey retired. He's not going to have a special day at Allen, but every KU fan acknowledges he could hoop.
Keith Langford. It's a little bit old school. I guess he technically is part of Bill Self's tenure because he coached him the 1 year. But Keith Langford was a problem in college for people. And he's not in the rafters like Wayne Simien is, or like Drew Gooden is, or Kirk Heinrich. But he was a guy who every night would go out there, and you knew what you were going to get from him. I mean, he averaged 15 3 years in a row in college basketball. Like, he was a really good player, 4 year starter. Keith Langford's my answer.
Someone on the text line said Rafe LaFrenz. I don't think they understand the purpose of the question. I don't know if you could.
I mean, if that's the answer, then Will
his
Chamberlain.
His jersey's retired. I don't know if you can. I don't know if your name can be up there and you fit this criteria. I think everybody acknowledges Rafe LaFrenz was a hooper. Rafe LaFrenz, he was a consensus All-American two times, one Big 12 Player of the Year in 97 and 98. Yeah, no, he doesn't fit the criteria for this. I was thinking more like Travis Relaford. I was thinking more in that vein, you know? Russell Robinson vein, and I was thinking about, not Rafe LaFrenz. Rafe might be one of the 10 greatest players ever played at KU. You could certainly make the argument for Rafe.
There's a reason Rafe's numbers are tired.
I'm just saying, like, if you really had to sit here and think about it, I think you could make a very strong argument Rafe's top 10.
If he's not, he's like 12. Like, he's
right on the outside?
Yeah. Because, like, it gets hinky, like, Wilt played at Kansas.
Yeah, for sure.
But, like, Will played against plumbers and insurance salesmen in Kansas, so like it's a little different. But yes, Rafe LaFrenz does not fit this criteria.
Yeah. So yeah, I mean, I'm willing to go Roy to recent. Willing to do it that way. Yeah, if we're going Roy to recent, he has a chance of being on the first team of a first team All Jayhawk. Then
he might be. He would probably be the center on that team.
He might have been the best player in the 90s. I think people will give it to Paul because of what Paul turned into as an NBA player. But I think if you are only evaluating what they did in college, I think Rafe might have been the best KU player of the 90s.
If Rafe stayed healthy in the pros, I think people would view Rafe a lot differently because his pro career just got derailed so quickly.
Who's the best player of the 2000s? Like, not tens. If we're just going the...
Just 2000...
So, like, yeah, if like you know the way they do, like, Mr. Basketball. So, we're doing, like, Mr. Basketball... Of the 90s for KU.
So like 2009.
Yeah.
It's either Sharon or Nick Collison.
What is Wayne Simien popping in here? I thought Wayne Simien was a hooper.
Wayne Simeon's definitely in this conversation. Like if you were like, all right, 2009, name the best players. It's Sharon, and these are not in order. Sharon, Heinrich, Collison, Simien, Gooden.
Somebody said Aaron Miles. I don't feel like Aaron Miles gets enough love.
Is he in the rafters too? No, he's not in the rafters.
Yeah, I don't feel like Aaron Miles gets enough love
Aaron
for the
Miles
kind of hooper
really
he
good
was.
Answer.
Yeah, I don't know if Aaron Miles gets enough love. He's all-time leader in assists, right?
Mm-hmm. I'm trying to think if he's in the rafters. He might be because of the all-time assist thing.
I remember when DeJuan was getting real close, and y'all turned on DeJuan. Y'all started hating him all of a sudden.
I don't know for DeJuan. The reason he got close, he played for 36 years.
Well, and he played with Hunter Dickinson. Y'all hated anybody that played with Hunter Dickinson. Around. I just hated him. Hunter Dickinson.
Anyone in his aura.
Hunter Dickinson can't even come back.
Did you see he got booed? They showed highlights he got booed at late night?
Yeah, he can't even come back. I hate that man. I want to play for you guys what Bill Self had to say. Here's what he said about Darren Peterson and his effort last night.
You know, he's got something that I guess you're born with and can't teach. He's got an unbelievable ability to raise that when it counts the most, raise his level when it counts the most. And that's what he did tonight. I mean, those two plays he made were obviously the two biggest plays in the game for us. But you know, we were fortunate not Christian didn't play, and we weren't any good. They struggled shooting the ball and scoring too. But we just kind of pieced it together and made enough plays to get it.
A couple of observations that I had from watching the game last night. Observation number one is, do you guys like the way that Texas Tech plays? Right, just, do you like the way that Texas Tech plays basketball? Just, they made the Final Four last year with this style of basketball. Do you like the way that Texas Tech plays? I ask that question because Texas Tech plays like an NBA team. They take the gamble that we're going to hit enough threes.
I can handle that.
That it's
you.
Going to balance out. I don't know why that happened. Why is my computer on? But they take the gamble. I was on ESPN. I was trying to pull up the box score. They take the gamble that they're just going to make more threes than you make twos. Now, they didn't end up doing that yesterday and winning the game. But if you like Texas Tech style of basketball, I'm here to tell you there's about 17 teams in America that play that style better than they are. They're all in the NBA. So I was like kind of curious as I was watching this because I hear what people say about the league and they just hate like, all Texas Tech does is run up and down the court and shoot threes. That's all they do. So I watched that and I was very, very curious. And I also just, I know we don't talk about college basketball as much on a day-by-day basis as we, you know, used to 5, 6, 7 years ago. Maybe it's the cheese, maybe it's a bunch of different things. Man, I don't feel like we're appreciative at how deep the Big 12 is this year. Like, I feel like if this was 10 years ago, we would all be acknowledging it and be talking about it. And maybe it's because I don't think Kansas can win the league this year. So just we don't talk about who wins the conference. Because if it's not KU, I don't know if you guys really care as much who's going to win the Big 12. But just if you look at this, I mean, the top 8, Arizona, Houston, Kansas, Iowa State, that's the top 4. Like, Kansas is good. I don't think Kansas really has any chance at winning the Big 12, but they could be a 2 seed in the NCAA tournament. Like, it's wild to think. Iowa State, UCF. UCF is 6-3 in the Big 12. They're 17-4, and they're probably, what, a 7-8 seed in the NCAA tournament? Texas Tech is a very good team. BYU's a very good team. Like, you're talking about the top 6 to 8 teams in the league are absolutely stacked in the Big 12. I don't think we have nearly enough conversation about how deep or how top-heavy the Big 12 is and how battle-tested you are by the time you get to the NCAA tournament, that if you're a team like Houston last year, I mean, you've played 6 to 8 games against 3 of the top 8 teams in the NCAA tournament because of the conference that you come from.
I feel like you're right. We don't talk about it because Kansas is winning the league that way anymore. But, man, like, look at Iowa State for the example. Iowa State was undefeated. They were number 2 in the country. And by the way, they're still good. It's not an insult to Iowa State. They've taken a few bumps and bruises in the league. You want to know why? The league is really good. Like, and it's not just the top. There are teams in the middle that you're like, oh, that team would be a problem in other leagues. That team would be really competitive in other leagues. I said this earlier. The Big 12 in basketball is what the SEC thinks they are in football. They are every night. A team that can win a national title is probably on the floor. That they are that good every single night.
Yeah, I'm looking at it right now. I mean, yesterday, I mean, Texas Tech, they took 43 pointers and 32 2-pointers. I mean, they were 12 of 40. I mean, they outshot KU from the line, and that's what ends up keeping the game close. I mean, that's the math that they are taking. The math is we're going to take significantly more shots. Like, It's actually kind of crazy that KU won this game. If you're just like looking at the box score, I mean, Texas Tech took 20 more shots than KU did yesterday and hit 6 more threes than they did. You usually don't lose a home game if that ends up being the case, but just they didn't shoot it well. Kansas, they didn't take as many shots, but when you shoot 45% from the floor the way that they did, you're just going to give yourself a chance. You get to the free throw line the way that they did. I mean, they took 13 free throws. Texas Tech only took 5 free throws in the game. Other than that, all the numbers are pretty even across the board. Like, Kansas just made the most out of their possessions yesterday, and that just gave you really all the chances that you had to go out there and steal one on the road. A really good win from Kansas, going on the road and beating a top team in the Big 12. I looked at Joe Lunardi's bracketology. He had Texas Tech as being a 4 seed heading into the game. I mean, that's one of the better teams in the country, and Kansas went on the road and stole one away from them. Coming up on the other side, the same conversation that we have every year. We'll discuss it. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your home for K-State Athletics. 96.5, The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hi, it's Melissa Benishai, CEO and co-founder of Baked by Melissa. I'm thrilled to be partnering with Blue Apron to bring you simple, delicious meals for tired parents with ingredients delivered right to your door, like a beautiful rainbow crunch salad with my miso vinaigrette. They're easy to make, they're loaded with fresh vegetables, and you don't need a subscription to order. Get 35% off your first order at Blue Apron with promo code Melissa. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more. Love you. Bye.
If you're an experienced pet owner, you already know that having a pet is 25% belly rubs, 25% yelling, drop it, and 50% groaning at the bill from every pet visit, which is why Lemonade Pet Insurance is tailor-made for your pet and can save you up to 90% on vet bills. It can help cover checkups, emergencies, diagnostics, basically all the stuff that makes your bank account get nervous. Claims are filed super easily through the Lemonade app and half get settled instantly. Get a quote at lemonade.com/pet and they'll help cover the vet bill for whatever your pet swallowed after you yelled, drop it.
Buying pants shouldn't take this much effort. Too many options, inconsistent sizing, and styles that don't work across your day. You want something comfortable, sharp, and reliable without guessing, returning, or buying 5 different pairs. That's why there's Jack Archer.
Yes, jackarcher.com simplifies everything with the Jet Setter Tech Pant. One versatile pair designed to take you from work to weekend without missing a beat. Easy to wear, easy to style, and easy to shop for. The Jet Setter Tech Pant is wrinkle-free, stain-resistant, and built for all-day comfort. They stretch, breathe, and hold their shape, giving you a consistent fit and polished look every time. Backed by thousands of 5-star reviews, they're the dependable pants you'll reach for daily.
Jack Archer, ready when you are. For a limited time, get 15% off your first order with code GETJACK at jackarcher.com. Again, that's promo code GETJACK at jackarcher.com for 15% off your first order.
All right, I'm going to give you a disclaimer. Nah, I don't want you to say that I didn't warn you. We're going to talk about the Rooney Rule, so that means we have to discuss race. Now, I understand how some of you get, and it will not upset me in the least bit if you just come back in 15 minutes when we're done talking about the Rooney Rule, but a rule that requires you to interview 2 minorities, it is possible for us not to discuss race in the National Football League if this rule continues to exist. So I just want to give you that because I know the text line in 3 minutes. Oh, you always talk about this. You always bring it up. I don't know how we don't talk about it. Seems pretty significant. Teams get draft picks because of the Rooney Rule. We kind of got to talk about it. Now, here's the thing. There were 10 head coaching openings this year in the National Football League. None of the coaches were black this year. I've heard a lot of people give commentary about the Rooney Rule, and I don't disagree with all the commentary, but I also continue to read this, oh, something needs to be done and needs to be revamped. I don't really know what you can do to make the owners hire these people. Like, what fix would you propose if you think it is a problem? I also think there's another part of the conversation. Now, this part might be what upsets you. I don't think white people see this enough as a problem for there to really be a significant change with the Rooney Rule. So this is just kind of where we are with the Rooney Rule. I would say there is a much bigger, quote, problem, and I'll use problem in air quotes here. I think the best way to become a head coach in the National Football League is to be an offensive coordinator. I think if you look at the pipeline, teams, for the most part, tend to favor and hire offensive-minded head coaches. So offensive coordinators, if you do a really good job with the offense somewhere else, they then want you to come in and do a good job with their offense. That's the pipeline. There's not a lot of black offensive coordinators. So if you're not in the position that usually, if you graduate from that position, you get to be a head coach, how exactly do you become a head coach? Now, this is a working theory that I just came up with yesterday. I was listening to a podcast. I was thinking this. Are we potentially just a generation behind in having these conversations? For example, Jim Harbaugh is a very, very good head coach. There wasn't really the black quarterback example for Jim Harbaugh in the 90s. But as we've seen the position change, and there are certainly more black quarterbacks in today's NFL than it was in 2006, than it was in 1996, I wonder if we're having these conversations in 10 years and there's just going to be more black head coaches because, in theory, there are more black quarterbacks running offenses now than ever before. And that just feels like a natural progression. You go from being sort of a coach on the field to then you want to get into coaching. You become a quarterback coach. You then move up the ranks. And then that's how you continue to do it. But as I was just kind of sitting here and I was like going through and I'm listening to everybody give their commentary on the Rooney Rule, I don't really know how you change the Rooney Rule. Number one, we only have the rule in effect is because there was threatened litigation against the National Football League. So they came up with this rule to satisfy people. It has certainly got some people hired, but more than anything, what it feels like, it's just a box that teams need to check so they don't get in trouble. I think the Giants were always going to hire John Harbaugh. I'm not mad at them for hiring John Harbaugh. I thought he was the best candidate that's out there. But if you're the Giants and you know exactly who you want to hire and it's not really an open search, well, let us do these things to fulfill these requirements. Let's go through this and then let's skip past that and then let's go talk to the person that we really want to go hire. I think that's happening in a lot of these situations. So I don't really know how you change the minds, how you change the numbers, how you increase the number of head coaches that do get hired if in some situations they're only being interviewed for this reason. I also don't know in the short term how you can potentially change this or increase the numbers if there's no black offensive coordinators or quarterback coaches for the most part in the league. Eric Bieniemy is the only one. So what is the pipeline to being a head coach if that's not the case? It's a very interesting conversation, but Rob, I would at least say in the short term, I don't necessarily know if there's a fix or a way to improve the situation. A, I don't think enough people think that it is a problem in order to do something about it. And I just don't know if the numbers or qualified candidates based on you need to be an offensive coordinator. Well, if there are no black offensive coordinators, where do you get black head coaches from?
I don't know. I agree with the premise that not enough people recognize the problem with the Rooney Rule. I think the mechanics of fixing it becomes the problem because the Rooney Rule, I think, was born with the best of intentions. But as you mentioned, that is not is what's happening. They interview a candidate who is the D-line coach of Team X to check a box. They're not doing it with the intent of, oh, wow, we were blown away by this guy. He's now part of our process. That's not what's happening. But I don't know that removing the Rooney Rule is going to fix any problems either. So we're saying the same thing. It's a little different. I just don't know it's a situation where not enough people recognize the problems. I just don't know there's a clear-cut solution to the problem because forcing people to interview minority candidates hasn't resulted in more minority candidates being hired. If anything, it's stagnated and we're in the same spot we were 10, 15, 20 years ago. Because only one head coach was a minority hire this cycle, and that's Robert Saleh, who, to your point, was a defensive coordinator in the NFL.
Yeah, I wouldn't call Robert Saleh black either. I think he's a minority. I don't think that he is black in that context.
The Rooney Rule is written,
sure.
but yes, I
think that's it too. And I guess in this, and that's why I bring it up when it comes to this more than anything, is I don't know if we have had or been in this cycle enough of the National Football League for there to be an offensive version of D'Amico Ryans. Like, if we really want to have the conversation, I think teams were perfectly fine with linebackers and those guys kind of running your defense. So then it makes sense to me how when it's time to be a head coach, man, this is just an extension of what I've already been doing. I've always been making the calls. I've always been making the signals. I've always been in charge on the field. That is a very, very new concept, I would say, when it comes to black quarterbacks. Where now, a majority of the quarterbacks in the NFL are African-American. So I think the league is shifting in a way where I do wonder in 10, 15 years, when we get to quarterback coaches, I just think you're going to see such a big difference because there's just so much more of them. For example, a guy like Tyrod Taylor, for example. Man, Tyrod Taylor's playing a bunch of different systems. Like, Tyrod Taylor's not qualified to be a quarterback coach, and then you become a quarterback coach, you do a good job, you then move up the ranks, you then continue to move up, you can progress, and then one day you become a head coach. Like, that's kind of been the natural cycle for guys to get those positions. So I am curious if just this is a conversation that we need to have in 2035 and just see where we are and then kind of go from there, as I just think there's going to be more people who we would deem to be qualified for these positions.
I'm going to ask you a question I don't think you have the answer to, but if your plan is just let's table this till 2035, what do we do in the interim? Do we keep the way it exists? Do we adjust? Do we change? Do we remove? Because I agree with your premise. If offensive coordinators and former quarterbacks are the pipeline to head coaching, that's probably where the hangup is. But how do you fix it in the current system? Because right now, just saying, well, that's what we're going to do and just hope this new crop of black quarterbacks one day turns into quarterback coaches and offensive coordinators, and that will cure the problem. There's a 10-year gap in that plan for you. Like, what's the short-term fix?
I don't think there is a short-term fix. I guess that's the point of all of this, is I don't think there is any fix. I don't know if there's anything you can do to make the white people hire you. This may be the non-politically correct way of saying it, but I think that's what it is. Like, everybody keeps telling me all the qualifications that EB has, and you're telling me all of these positive things. What could EB have done to make the owners hire him? He was a successful offensive coordinator that has the respect of all the players that he's with. What would, like, I don't know why that didn't work out for Eric Bieniemy the way that I think we all thought at one point that was going to work out for EB. So I think that's the case. So I'm sitting here and I'm reading it when it comes to Robert Saleh. I'm sorry. I got all the respect in the world for Robert Saleh. I just would not consider Robert Saleh to be black. I don't know if Robert Saleh considers himself to be black. If you look at his parents, his nationality, where his parents come from, I don't think he's black in that way. So I don't think they hired a black coach. They certainly hired a minority coach, which is a big deal. I think Robert Saleh is one of the best defensive coordinators out there. I just don't think that Robert Saleh is black, just based on his heritage, his ethnicity, all of those things. I would not put him in that category. Coming up on the other side, let's talk about Super Bowl week that we are here. We had opening night yesterday, and we are moving along in the week. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
You're listening to The Drive with Carrington Harrison.
I mean, come on, guys. What are we doing here?
On your home for Chiefs football, 96.5 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You worked all day, kids just got home, everyone's hungry. Now what? I'm Melissa Benishai, CEO and co-founder of Baked by Melissa, and I'm partnering with Blue Apron to bring you meals that make dinner easy, like 15-minute salmon and tzatziki. These meals are quick and delicious, and you don't even need to subscribe in order to make them. Get 35% off your first order at Blue Apron with promo code Melissa. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more. Okay, love you. Bye.
If you're an experienced pet owner, you already know that having a pet is 25% belly rubs, 25% yelling, drop it, and 50% groaning at the bill from every pet visit. Which is why Lemonade Pet Insurance is tailor-made for your pet and can save you up to 90% on vet bills. It can help cover checkups, emergencies, diagnostics, basically all the stuff that makes your bank account get nervous. Claims are filed super easily through the Lemonade app and half get settled instantly. Get a quote at lemonade.com/pet and they'll help cover the vet bill for whatever your pet swallowed after you yelled, drop it.
As a man, finding a truly great pair of pants can feel impossible. Some wrinkle the moment you sit down. Others look fine but don't travel well, don't move well, or completely lose their shape throughout the day. When you're flying, commuting, or packing light, most pants just aren't built for real life.
That's why there's Jack Archer. JackArcher.com makes the Jet Setter Tech Pant designed to be the one pair of pants you actually need. Comfortable enough for travel, polished enough for work, and versatile enough for wherever the day takes you. The Jet Setter Tech Pant is wrinkle-free, stain-resistant, and built for all-day comfort. With flexible stretch, customizable fit options, and thousands of five-star reviews, these are the pants you'll reach for every day.
Jack Archer, ready when you are. For a limited time, get 15% off your first order using code GETJACK at JackArcher.com. Again, that's promo code GETJACK at JackArcher.com for 15% off your first order.
It's almost President's Day, and this year I've got a winning strategy for saving big. I'm skipping the phony sales and instead scoring everyday low prices on my favorite pieces from Bob's Discount Furniture. When I shop Bob's, I get more of what I love. More style, more storage, more comfort, more choices, even more years on that precious mattress warranty. All for a fraction of the cost of what you pay at other stores. So this President's Day weekend, stop in or shop online and see how much more you can save when you dare to compare at Bob's.
I have a theory. And this isn't even like an anti-NFL theory. I know sometimes I come off as like a hater of the NFL, and I'm really not, but I don't think this is an anti-NFL sentiment. I don't know if Super Bowl week is as big of a deal anymore. And I think this is why. I think, A, we just always talk about the NFL, and I understand it's a Super Bowl, so it's a different game. But when there's a big game on Sunday Night Football, we spend the week talking about it anyway. And now with social media and these guys having their own platforms and going on podcasts and social media and all of these things, I feel like we know these guys more than ever before. So the opening night random questions don't maybe hit like they did 15, 20 years ago. Breaking the game down from all angles isn't as unique of a concept now than it was 10, 15, 20 years ago. It's the Super Bowl. We're all going to watch it. We're all going to pay attention to it. But I do think in some ways, some of the pageantry around the Super Bowl, the internet has just kind of ruined some of those things. Like the commercials, you used to have to wait to the game to watch them. You don't even have to wait to the game anymore. These companies just release the ads on the internet before the week even gets going. Hey, you want to see the new trailer? Just go on YouTube right now when it's already there. Hey, if you want to watch Sam Darnold answer some random questions, he's done this 7 other times before for random publications. You don't need to wait until the Monday before the Super Bowl to hear him answer these random questions. Rob, I do feel like in some ways, the Monday through Saturday of the Super Bowl has been diluted a little bit because it doesn't feel as sacred. It doesn't feel as much of an event compared to what it was 10, 15 years ago.
I don't disagree with your premise. I don't think there's much buzz for the Super Bowl, at least this point in the week, that we used to have. I think by Thursday, Friday, it'll crank up because people are getting excited for the game. But I do think the week leading in does lack a little bit of oomph. And I don't know what that is. I don't know if the fact that nowadays all these guys are so media trained that, you know, what happens at, you know, media night doesn't really register anymore. Like it was 10 years ago when Marshawn Lynch said, I'm just here to, I don't get fined. Nowadays, guys just all give the generic stock answers to everything. And maybe it's there's too many media members. But, like, it does feel like a regular game in a sense of it picks up steam and momentum Thursday, Friday. But Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday just feels very ho-hum. Now, maybe this is a little inside baseball by me, and that's fine. Do you think part of that this year is because Santa Clara is a bad host city and everything's so spread out, it can't create that buzz and that hub?
I don't think the average fan cares about that. I do wonder if it's two things. Like, maybe we are uniquely positioned to feel this way. Super Bowl week has been so big in Kansas City the last couple of years that the 1 year that they're not in it, it was just always going to feel like just a regular week anyway. That might be one week of it. I don't know many people that think that we are in line to get a great game on Sunday. I'm not saying the Patriots can't win this game, but just, do you know anybody that's picking the Patriots to win this game? Do you think the sentiment nationally is that the Patriots have a chance to win this game? Who's picking them? So I wonder how much of that is kind of shaping the way that we feel for the lead up to this game. Seattle is definitely worthy, but it feels like New England is one of the weaker Super Bowl teams that we've had a chance to discuss in quite some time. They just haven't been super impressive, I would say, for the last 6 weeks or so, where Seattle, to me, looks the part of a Super Bowl team. They clearly are the best team in the National Football League. I don't know if people feel that way about the team that they're playing on Sunday.
Is it possible America is suffering from football fatigue? And not in a way that people don't like football in America. But think about the last couple of years and how the football viewing leading up to the Super Bowl has changed. We now have a Monday night game. There was a string where it was college football playoff game, college football playoff game, playoff game, playoff game, playoff game, 5 days in a row. A week later, it was 2 days of playoff games back to back. Then it was the 2 weeks of playoff games. Then we had 2 days of playoff games. Then we had a college football championship game. Then we had a week off, another day of football. Like, I wonder if the fact that the college football schedule is so screwed up and the NFL has now spread playoff games over 3 days as opposed to two, if people have started getting a little bit tired and fatigued of football to the point where you look up and they're going to be playing this game on February 7th. Like, I wonder if the overexposure in January has kind of taken a little bit of the buzz away from the game in February, which, if that's the case, and I don't know what it is or isn't, it ain't getting better anytime soon because they're talking about 18th game and the college football playoffs are not going to play until the 27th of January. I wonder if at a certain point we reach our capacity for liking football.
Yeah, and I don't know if you can ever get that part of it back. And I don't think that's necessarily like, it's not critical to this being a great game or a memorable kind of game. Like, we're talking about the pageantry of it leading up to it. But just like this week, I mean, on Thursday, if Giannis gets traded, the Super Bowl is not the biggest story nationally in sports. It just won't be. Like, one of the top 15 players in league history is potentially going to get traded. Like, we've kind of had those things kind of pop up that I wonder now in a 24-hour news cycle, we kind of treat the Super Bowl Monday through Friday kind of like how every other major game gets treated. Yeah, we talk about Sunday Night Football, but oh yeah, what about this thing? Oh yeah, what about this thing? And then when the weekend happens, we treat the Super Bowl the same way we treat every major football game. We stop everything that we're doing and we make it a point. I'm watching the big football game on Sunday. And obviously, this is the biggest game everybody's going to be watching, and not the case like a random Sunday Night Football game. But I just wonder now in a content space, because we are constantly feeding the machine of the 24-hour news cycle, I do wonder when the Super Bowl conversation starts to heat up in a place nationally where before it was the moment the two teams touched down in the host city, it was nonstop wall-to-wall Super Bowl coverage. I don't feel like we could do that right now. I understand it's different because Kansas City's not in it. I'm not sure if the audience wants us breaking down Patriots Seahawks nonstop for the next 3 days. I don't feel like people are that interested in the Super Bowl yet.
I also don't think this is a Kansas City problem. Like, a couple of the texts, I'm like, you guys want to feel this way because the Chiefs aren't in it. I don't know that's true. Like, we have friends who do radio in Cleveland. We have friends who do radio in Miami. We have friends who do radio in Charlotte. Those are NFL towns. I feel like they're experiencing the same things. When the Chiefs weren't in it and it was Rams and Bengals, it felt like there was buzz and there was excitement for that game. It feels like this game doesn't have any juice. I don't know if it's the game, the media buzz around it, football fatigue. I don't know what it is, but there is definitely something with Super Bowl 60 where there just It ain't moving and shaking, to quote you, the same way other Super Bowls have. I don't know what it could be.
Is there a trailer you're anticipating coming out?
No, because I can read online what trailers are or aren't.
We do kind of have an idea. I actually think we're going to get a new Grand Theft Auto trailer on Sunday. That's the perfect time to make the announcement of when the release date is and your third trailer. We're going big here. I think we're getting a Grand Theft Auto trailer on Sunday.
Like, as a Marvel nerd, I've already read they didn't pay for any of their trailers to be
on. They're not doing any of it.
So it's like, okay, that's what it is. It's your point. I know what the commercials are. I've already seen some of them. I know what trailers are and aren't in the Super Bowl. Like, what's the draw anymore now, other than the game? And the game's going to stink.
I don't know if the game's going to stink.
I think the game's going to stink. I think
you got a beatdown coming.
I think the way casuals felt last year about what the Eagles and the Chiefs is what casuals will feel this way about what the Patriots are going to get done to them by the Seahawks.
Let's talk about this more on the other side, just because I'm not entirely convinced a beatdown is happening. I feel very strongly that Seattle is going to win. I don't know if I'm 100% this is going to be a 31-3. We all wasted our time shellacking. I don't know if I'm at that point. Let's talk about it. Keep it right here, Mr. Drive.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
As a man, finding a truly great pair of pants can feel impossible. Some wrinkle the moment you sit down. Others look fine but don't travel well, don't move well, or completely lose their shape throughout the day. When you're flying, commuting, or packing light, most pants just aren't built for real life.
That's why there's Jack Archer. JackArcher.com makes the Jet Setter Tech Pant, designed to be the one pair of pants you actually need. Comfortable enough for travel, polished enough for work, and versatile enough for wherever the day takes you. The Jet Setter Tech Pant is wrinkle-free, stain-resistant, and built for all-day comfort. With flexible stretch, customizable fit options, and thousands of five-star reviews, these are the pants you'll reach for every day.
Jack Archer, ready when you are. For a limited time, get 15% off your first order using code GETJACK at JackArcher.com. Again, that's promo code GETJACK at JackArcher.com for 15% off your first order.
Thy ticket, Lady Jennifer of Coolidge.
Well, many thanks, good sir. Heareth my Discover card.
They accept Discover at Renaissance fairs?
Yeah, they do here. Discover is accepted at the places I love to shop. Getteth with the times.
With the times?
You're playing the lute. Yeah, and it sounds pretty good, right?
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
Have you been diagnosed with head or neck cancer? At Kansas City Proton Institute, we're delivering the future of cancer care with state-of-the-art proton therapy right here in KC. Proton therapy means increased precision, reducing side effects like dry mouth, difficulty swallowing, and the loss of taste as compared to conventional radiation. If you've been diagnosed, don't wait. Get your second opinion today and see KC's largest, most experienced proton therapy team. Visit kcpi.com, Kansas City Proton Institute, where you see the best in KC.
We're a few weeks into the new year, and I want to check in. How are those lifestyle resets going? Maybe you're tightening up your exercise routine, finally learning that new skill, or attempting to eat a bit healthier. We all know that starting the year strong is a lot easier and much more delicious when you have the right fuel. That's where Omaha Steaks come in. Stay satisfied, keep your energy up, and fuel your daily routine with premium portion proteins delivered right to your door. Omaha Steaks have been America's original butcher since 1917. We're talking about five generations of uncompromising quality, backed by an unconditional 100% money-back guarantee. Their variety is unmatched. From handcrafted USDA-certified tender steaks to gourmet burgers, seafood, and versatile chicken, every steak is perfectly aged to maximize tenderness and hand-cut by master butchers. Let Omaha Steaks deliver high-quality proteins right to your door. Visit omahasteaks.com and get an extra $35 off with promo code T-Bone at checkout. That's omahasteaks.com. Promo code T-Bone. Terms apply. See site for details.